Proverbs chapter 15, verses 23 to 29. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Hear the word of the Lord. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. The path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but gracious words are pure. Whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Father, we ask this morning that you would hear our prayer. The Holy Spirit, who inspired these eternal words of truth, would be present with your people to give understanding, to give ears to hear, and wills to obey. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. The saying is, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's not true. Not true at all. We all know that words can be absolutely devastating. Words can cut like sword thrusts, as Proverbs 12:18 says. When your reputation is dragged through the mud, when you are the target of malicious gossip, you know this. Gossip, slander, defamation, murmuring, toxic speech, these things wound. They are like daggers. They steal life. They drain life. Much of the strife in our families is because of foolish words. Much of the strife in our offices, our churches, our nation, politics, is because of foolish words. Words are potent. They're so powerful, and yet we tend to underestimate the power of words with little sayings like that. Words are potent. For example, I think every Bible-believing church would say adultery is a very serious sin. And it is. But I have never seen a case of an adultery that sent a whole church into a meltdown. But on the other hand, we tend to think of gossip as a petty sin, something kind of minor. Not that dangerous to indulge. And yet I have seen gossip over and over destroy churches. You know how many people it takes to destroy a church? To split a church? It's not 50% of the congregation. It's two. Two people. One person to spread that fiery negativity, and a second person not to call them out for it and to call it what it is. Words can devastate. They're so powerful. But I don't want to focus on the devastating effects so much this morning. I want to focus on the fact that words also have the power to give life. Proverbs has a lot more to say about our words than I think any other thing in our lives. I counted about 90 Proverbs that deal with how we should speak, how to use words to bring healing, words to bring healing to relationships, words to bring healing to marriages, words to bring healing to the office place, words to bring healing to our nation, words to bring healing to our marriages, words to bring healing to our churches. We want our churches to be safe places, hospitals for sinners. There shouldn't be places where people get hurt. Turn with me to Proverbs 20. I want to jump around a little bit this morning. Proverbs 20, verse 15. Wonderful little proverb about words. Proverbs 20, 15. There is gold in abundance of costly stones, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. That's a wonderful proverb telling us that knowledgeable speech, informed speech, intelligent speech is something that is precious to God. It's like a jewel to God. He delights in intelligent, quality speech. It's like a work of art. Proverbs 25, verse 11. Let's look at this one. I love this. 25:11. A word fitly spoken. Fitly spoken. A fitly spoken word means it's exactly suitable. It is the perfectly appropriate thing to say. The perfect word. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. It's like a skillfully crafted work of art. I am making this new phrase part of my parenting toolkit. The next time my children are at it, I'm going to ask them, is that a golden apple in a setting of silver that just came out of your mouth? A work of art. Would God hold that precious as a verbal work of art? How do we craft words that are like golden apples in silver settings? Well, let me suggest three essential components this morning that I see in the book of Proverbs to crafting words that are like golden apples in silver of settings. Those types of words are thoughtful, they're timely, and they're truthful. Thoughtful, timely, and truthful. You see this in the book of Proverbs. First, speak thoughtful words. Look at our passage this morning. Proverbs 15, verse 28. The heart of the righteous ponders, thinks about how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out. And I wish the ESV had gone with a little edgier insinuation here, belches out or spews out or vomits out evil things. There's no rewind function in what comes out of our mouth. I love the opportunity every few years to use the illustration of the tube of toothpaste with the younger grade chapel when I get to speak to them. And so I'll come in with a brand new tube of toothpaste and a bowl, set the bowl down, drain the entire tube of toothpaste. They're just mesmerized. Third graders eat this up. Drain the entire tube of toothpaste into the bowl. Then I ask for a volunteer, and of course, all the hands go up. Kids love to volunteer. I'll call somebody up, and I'll hand them the bowl, hand them the tube of toothpaste, and I'll say, okay, I want you to put the toothpaste back into the tube. And you just get this blank stare, because that's an impossible task. But it's a wonderful little illustration of the fact that the words we spew out can never truly be taken back, as much as we would wish to at times. And I say words, not just spoken words, but this would certainly include those emails and texts and Facebook posts. You can't take them back. You can't truly take them back. The writer of Proverbs here is saying, the righteous person, verse 28, thinks about what he says before he says it. So a wonderful question to ask ourselves is, do we want our speech, do we want our words to be thoughtful, do we want our words to be measured, or do we want them to be just like spewing belch? Many proverbs encourage us not to impulsively say the first thing that's on our mind. You come to the New Testament, there's lots of examples of this in Scripture, but I think the Apostle Peter is kind of the classic example of someone who often belched what was first in his mind. You remember in Matthew 16 when Jesus was laying it out for the apostles very clearly, very directly, the necessity of his death and then resurrection on the third day. And Peter says, far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. And then a little later, when Jesus told his apostles that after his death they were going to be scattered, and Peter let loose another spewing belch and said, even if all fall away, I will not. And it's not long after he's one of the first falling away. He's one of the first denying our Lord Jesus. Those are just examples of Peter reacting emotionally rather than responding thoughtfully. Golden apples and silver settings are marked by thought. They're pondered before they are let loose. It's foolish, Proverbs teaches us, to trust whatever unedited thought first pops into your mind. Filter it. In fact, the default advice in Proverbs repeatedly is just don't say anything at all. Don't say anything at all. Proverbs 10:19, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent. There's great value, there's great wisdom in just restraining those first thoughts that pop into our heads. Especially important when words are committing us to a decision or to a vow or to a promise. It's prudent to wait, to ponder, and to think. There's a great proverb. Turn with me to Proverbs 17. This one's kind of humorous. Proverbs 17:27. Whoever restrains his words has knowledge. Again, the value of just not saying something. Certainly not the first thing that pops in your mind. And he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. And I love this. Look at verse 28. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Even a fool can fake it for a short period of time, at least, if he just keeps his mouth shut. So golden apples and silver settings are marked by thoughtfulness, pondering before we speak, if we even speak at all. Let me give you a second essential component to this kind of speech. It's timely. Look back at our chapter again, chapter 15. The importance of a timely word, verse 15:23. To make an apt answer is a joy to a man and a word in season. How good it is. A word in season, how good it is. A word that is timely, that is spoken just at the right time. How good it is. It must be well timed. That's a timing that involves a natural sensitivity to circumstances. It's a timing that involves a spiritual sensitivity to the circumstances. God can help you develop that. Where there's laughter, it's appropriate to laugh. Where there's mourning, where there's weeping, sometimes a bright, chipper comment just isn't appropriate. Again, sometimes it's better just to keep it closed and provide companionship. Romans 12:15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. That takes a certain amount of discernment, takes a certain amount of wisdom. What's appropriate at this time, at this occasion? Look at Proverbs 27:14. It speaks to timing. There are many that do. Proverbs 27:14. This is humorous too. Whoever blesses his neighbor with a loud voice rising early in the morning will be counted as cursing. Bad timing. None of us wants to receive a phone call at 4 o'clock in the morning telling us how great we are. It's poor timing. That's what this proverb is telling us here. And if the timing of positive comments is important, how much more important is the timing of rebuke, the timing of correction? It takes discernment. Let me give you a third component of the kind of speech that God values, the kind of speech that he would describe as golden apples and settings of silver. Not only is it thoughtful, not only is it timely, but it's also truthful. It's true. Our speech should be true. The Bible has a lot to say about that. Look at Proverbs 12. The importance of true speech. Proverbs 12:19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. This proverb shows us the underlying difference between true speech and false speech. And the writer says true speech, true words, last forever. They endure forever. That's because it's true speech is rooted in the character of God Himself. We make this point every Sunday morning when we open up God's Word. The Word of God will last forever. That's because truth doesn't change. Truth doesn't decrease in value. Lies decrease in value. Lies change. Lies fade away quickly. Like most sin, they may appear true to begin with. They may be appealing when they're first put out there. But the fantasy does not endure. Lies fade away. Truth is eternal. So a wise person seeks to speak only what is true. That reflects the character of God. The Bible's very concerned about this. Particularly, the Bible is concerned about protecting personal reputations. Not slandering. There's a commandment to speak truth. Many prohibitions against slander. Many prohibitions against gossip. Proverbs 16:28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. That's gossip. So often gossip is based on lies. So often gossip is based on things that we don't know are true. And it can be devastating. Separates friends, he says. You know, looking at so much of what Proverbs has to say about speech, of course this brings to mind James chapter 3. Let's just look at his passage in the New Testament. James being the kind of New Testament wisdom book, but he certainly draws from the Proverbs when he talks about the tongue and its power, and especially the destructive power of gossip. That's nothing new in the church today. James 3, verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so they obey us, we guard their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Just one spark of gossip, James says, can destroy the reputation of a person. Just one spark of gossip can bring down a whole community. It's that powerful. God wants our speech to be used for the power of healing. Golden apples and settings of silver. Speech that is thoughtful. Speech that is timely. Speech that is truthful. That's the kind of speech that heals. That's the kind of speech that builds up. And of course, naturally, as we've been doing in our series in Proverbs, this leads us directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, who embodied perfectly the wise use of words. There are so many examples we could look at in his life and ministry. The perfect use of words. Every word that came out of his mouth was a golden apple in a setting of silver. Always thoughtful, always timely, always true. I think particularly of his directions in Matthew 18, dealing with conflict and sin in the church. How timely, how measured. Your brother sins, go to him alone. Don't unnecessarily bring in other friends, other people, which can often be so destructive. Keep it measured, one-on-one. So often that takes care of the conflict. Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. Jesus' instruction in Matthew 18 is addressed directly to that. Keep it in house. Keep it small. Deal with it as small as you can. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper or quarreling, it ceases. Proverbs 26:20. Keep your quarrels in-house and small and deal with them accordingly. Argue your case with your neighbor himself and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you and your ill repute have no end. Proverbs 25:9-10. Jesus was the master of thoughtful, timely, truthful words. You know, friends, the bottom line is God cares very deeply about how we use words. Words are a gift. I think words are an obvious sign that we are made in the image of God. No other creature uses words. We derive that from being made in His image. It is a gift woven into who we are as human beings. God created the universe by speaking words. God brings His gospel to us in the form of words. God sent His Son, the Word made flesh. And I want to tell you this morning, for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving way, by the grace of God, words are what we will use for all of eternity to communicate with one another as those in Christ and to glorify God for all of eternity.